Well, good evening, everybody. It's Tuesday evening, time for our Bible study on the nines. And we are continuing with part three of Running Your Race. Hope you've had a great start to your week. Hope everybody's doing well. Praying for each and every one of you in our church and others that I care about, think about. I want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity just to tune in and watch this Bible study. I've enjoyed it. This is my favorite passage of Scripture, probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And it's like I said last Tuesday, it's a verse of Scripture that I take refuge in every time I go through seasons like what we're going through. And I just wanted to break it down to you. And there's just so much there that I thought I'd break it up into four Bible studies, a two-hour message, basically. We began last Tuesday night there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," we talked about being compassed by a great cloud of witnesses, and it's the response. We talked about what's the therefore, there from Hebrews chapter 11, and we talked about being motivated to run your race, that first point, being motivated to run your race. And that is the response to faith, the heroes of the faith, the investment of faith, and how the just shall live by faith. And we spent the whole evening talking about faith and how wonderful that word faith is. Faith is what connects us to God. If you haven't had a chance to watch that one from last Tuesday night, watch that one, being motivated. It's that faith that motivates us to get to the starting line. We are looking at people who have invested in us, who are heroes of the faith, who've gone before us, and our personal response to faith in Christ and who we're doing it for. Then on Friday morning, I talked to you about being free to run your race and the idea of examining ourselves to see what weighs us down, because we're at the starting line in this analogy, this great analogy of the Roman and Greek games that the writer of Hebrews is bringing out. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us," being free from the weight of the guilt of the past, being free from the weight of the sin of the present, being free from the weight of the anxiety, the worry for the future. And we talked about those areas last week. We continue now in running our race, part three. And the next part of this verse, in verse 1, where it says, "Let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us." The last part of verse 1 there has to do with patience, being patient to run your race, being patient to run your race. And I emphasize it's your race. So let's talk about a few things when it comes to patience this evening. We all live with this illusion that joy will come when our circumstances change. Joy will come when our conditions change. I never forget when I was in elementary school, I would sit there in class all day long. Didn't change classes, just one class. And I'm looking at the clock, and that clock is just creeping along, going, "Man, if I can get to middle school, it's going to be better." I get to middle school, and I'm changing a few classes, and I'm going, "Man, if I just get to high school, big boy, you know." And I get to high school and I'm changing classes and I'm going through high school, sitting in class going, "Man, it'd be great to graduate someday so I can get on with life." Then I graduate, walk across the stage, get my diploma, and I'm going, "That was wonderful. What am I going to do now?" And of course, that was 21 years ago and I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. I'm just kidding. But, anyway, let me go farther. So basically we're in school, we're dying to graduate. And then we're in college and we're dying to graduate from college so we can get on with our lives. We're single. We're convinced, man, we're going to be happy once we find the right one and get married. Then we find the right one and get married and we decide we'll be happy someday when we have kids. Then we have kids and decide we're going to be happier when they grow up and leave the nest. Then the kids do. And then I've heard people say they were happier when the kids were still at home. And understand something. I just said that as an illustration. Let's understand something. All we have is today. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow hasn't happened. We have to learn to live in the now. It's good to have a plan. It's good to have an objective, something to align your life with, to pursue. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to live in the now. If we don't do that, we don't have the patience for the journey. We get so focused on the destination that we fail to enjoy the journey to get to the destination. Hey, listen, if you're a believer in Christ this evening, your destination is assured. Destination is heaven. We're not a citizen of this world anymore. We're journeying through. And one of these days we'll be in heaven with Him, enjoying Him forever. But until that day, let us not get so focused on the goal that we fail to enjoy the journey and what Christ is doing through us, through the positive circumstances and through the negative circumstances in this world. And that's where patience comes in. So with that in mind, let me ask you a question. It's actually a fill-in-the-blank question. Ask yourself this question. When blank happens, I will experience fulfillment. When blank happens, I will experience fulfillment. I can answer that question based upon my life. You can answer that question based upon your life. It could be you're single. And if I can find that perfect spouse that I think I will complete you. Now understand something. A spouse was never meant to complete you. A spouse was meant to complement you. All right, when you're looking toward a spouse to complete you, you're putting that spouse up on a plane higher than God, and you're saying, hey, my happiness depends on you, et cetera, et cetera. And then your expectations will be so out of touch with reality that you create this mold that your spouse can never fill. That's not a way to live. It comes crashing down. A spouse was meant to complement you, not to complete you. Some people say, answer that question, when blank happens, I'll experience fulfillment. When I can find that perfect spouse out there, I'll experience fulfillment. Then they get married and you're going, marriage is hard. Marriage requires work. That person has flaws. I have flaws. We have to work together. Maybe it could be the perfect church or the perfect pastor. And I can testify to you right now, that is never the case. Every church has problems because it's made up of people who are sinners, who are broken, who need Christ. And there's not a perfect pastor out there in this entire world. We all have our shortcomings. We all lead the best we can as we follow the Lord. Maybe it could be the perfect job. When I have the perfect job, when that happens, then I'll experience fulfillment. Then we find out that a job is just like an elevator. It has its ups and it has its downs. Good days and bad days. Be thankful for the job. When blank happens, I'll experience fulfillment. The perfect place to live. The perfect area to live. I've always wanted to live here. Or it could be the perfect house. Or it could be the perfect car. Or it could be this or that. You're depending on the circumstances to make you happy. To give you fulfillment. And they will never, ever do that. Whatever it is that your mind concocts. You plan, you save, you critique, you expect, and you're driven toward that goal. And like I said, it's okay. It's wonderful to have goals. I have goals. But the problem is when that goal becomes an obsession, it causes the expectation to be so high, you lose your patience, you don't enjoy the journey, you set yourself up for failure, disappointment, and you miss the pleasure and the joy of the journey in pursuit of the goal. Let me put it again this way. When I was a teenager in my early 20s, I was great at sprinting. I could sprint, I could run fast. But in the long runs, I was terrible because I was so focused on getting to the end of the race that I didn't enjoy the pacing myself. I would start out really fast ahead of the pack, especially in PE class when I had to run those miles. But failure to pace myself for the goal, I would burn out and exhaust myself early on. I needed stamina for the end as much as the beginning, so I have to pace myself through the journey. I can't be the fastest person right off the starting block. I thought I was. Funny story. It was one of those days in high school when we had a half day due to some circumstances of the weather or something. I can't remember what it was. And I thought I'd eat a little bit of my ice cream birthday cake for breakfast that morning, and didn't realize I was going to have PE class first period that morning. And I want to recommend anybody that runs, do not eat a slice of ice cream birthday cake before you go run a mile. I promise you it will come up in the locker room. All right. Just want to let you know that right now. You don't have to experience that. I've already experienced it. But anyway, I thought about that because I was doing that real fast off the block, really fast sprint. And then I learned as I got older, I needed patience to pace myself. And that's just a little illustration, but that's life. We get off the starting line in this race of faith so quick, man. We're so excited about the Lord. We want to do things for Him. Then we find out that the Christian life is hard. We find out life's got its burdens, and we start getting burdened down and broken down and everything. And we have to learn to pace ourselves through the journey. The idea is patience. When it says here, when the writer of Hebrews says to run with endurance, run with patience, the race that is set before us, that's what he's talking about. And there's two aspects of this part of the sentence. Let us run with patience. We're going to talk about that first. And then let us run the race that's set before us. We all have a race we have to run, a journey. So, pacing ourselves. How can we do this? Let's look at the first point tonight. Always think big picture. Always think big picture. Running with patience, that is pacing yourself through this race of life. In NASCAR, I'm a racing fan. I'm still going through racing withdrawal since they haven't had any racing for the last month. That's okay. But I've seen many times in a race, the fastest car normally doesn't win. The most patient driver wins. Why? Because he paces himself. He knows the speed of his car. He overcomes the obstacles to find more speed. He takes care of his equipment so he can push himself toward the end. A good driver knows he is not going to win the race on the first lap. It's the last lap that counts. In our race of life, we can either go too fast that we don't enjoy the journey, or we go too slow that we miss the journey. When we pace ourselves, we enjoy the journey. We are using the journey to think big picture. Big picture gives us perspective. Live in the now, but always look things in view of big picture. What's the big picture? Everything that we're going through is temporal in this life. You ever heard the phrase, this too shall pass? Now, that's not in the Bible, but it is a true phrase. This too shall pass. Regardless of the circumstance you're going through, it will pass. It's just a season. Eternity so much bigger, so much longer than we have in this temporal life on earth, this short life, this vapor of a life that we have on this earth. So we have to think big picture in light of eternity. So that causes us to step back, live in the now, thinking big picture, getting ourselves some perspective. But here's the thing. We must have direction in life. Aligning ourselves so that we can see the obstacles. Because when we have no direction in life, life resembles a bunny trap. We're hopping here, there, we're going everywhere. Lots of motion, little direction. Today, many times we emphasize today the driving the first spike in our Christian life, and that's salvation. But we ignore the last one, what Jesus has called us to be and to do for Him. We have to grow in Christ through each and every experience. See, there's room for gladness and rejoicing when the cornerstone's laid. But the real focus should be on the big picture. Where is all this going? How are you growing? What does it mean to finish well? I love Christians who are so excited today as they were the day they got saved. They've learned to pace themselves. They're thinking big picture. They know that everything that happens to them is allowed by God to grow them to be more like Jesus Christ, to that ultimate goal where we will see Christ someday and we stand before Him to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In other words, pace yourselves. Patience, perseverance. Always think big picture. Number two, not only should we always think big picture, but we should also cultivate Christian character. As we grow in Christ and we run this race by patience, there in verse 1 again, run with endurance, run with patience. The race. As we run this race with endurance, with patience, step by step, day by day, trial by trial, we need to become more and more authentic. Becoming a person who matches his or her words, the words of Christ. Resilient people are often more attuned to process than position. Because you have these temporal positions in life that are here today and gone tomorrow, but they know their eternal position in Christ has already been settled at Calvary at salvation. And that position's already taken care of, so they are working more on the process. Somebody asked, when did you become a Christian? And we always answer that question in a date and a place or a time. I mean, somebody asked me, Dean, when did you become a Christian? August the 1st, 1996, Gospel at Christian Camp, Hillsville, Virginia. I knelt at an altar, accepted Christ as my Savior. But when the word Christian is used to identify a process of spiritual development, being a Christian is a lifelong journey. My position was settled the night I got saved, but as I've grown over the last 20, going on 24 years as a Christian, it's a life journey. I'm becoming more and more like Christ if I'm taking time to learn and to grow. And I'm becoming, my goal is to be a process of becoming more like Christ in my conduct, in my inner orientation. Listen, I want to be more like Christ today than I was 15 years ago. I want to be more like Christ 15 years from now than I am today. And that goes by cultivating Christian character. So you have to ask yourself, am I becoming a Christian? More than anything, we're talking about character here. Christ-like character. That's the result of a choice to follow Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of the race itself. So what will people learn if they follow him patiently? It's a way of being. A way of seeing and a way of hearing. A way of relating and doing business with other human beings. A way of seeing creation and brokenness in this world. An invitation to action, piece by piece. It's developing character. The default me. The person that I become over the long haul of life. The person that emerges in the most difficult, challenging moments. Patience. Cheerful. Hopeful. Endurance. That's what the word means. To stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear, to persevere, to have fortitude. And there's a key word there, hope. Resilience, step by step, day by day. Pace yourself. Simplify your life. You can't win that race on the first lap. You cannot become an expert on anything on the first try. It takes practice and patience to develop the skill to be good at anything. I thought about the first time I ever took a banjo lesson. I thought, as soon as I learned one song with a banjo, I could fly through a banjo like those professional banjo players can do. But you know what? Playing a banjo fast takes time, takes muscle memory, takes forward rolls and backward rolls and picking. I'm not talking about your nose either, but I'm talking about a long process of picking and a long process of practicing. That's any instrument, that's any skill, that's anything in life. It takes time, patience, and practice. Same is true in the Christian life. As we're cultivating character, we're growing and we're learning to be more and more like Jesus Christ, and that takes patience. Number three, not only should we see things big picture and cultivate Christian character, number three, be confident in your calling and giftedness. We use the word self-confidence a lot, but I don't really, I rather would like to say that I find my confidence in Christ. That's where our true confidence comes from. And that's being confident in his calling for you and his giftedness for you. Everybody's got a calling to do in the ministry. It doesn't matter. No position, no thing is, nothing is more important than the other in the body of Christ. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody's been gifted by the Lord with spiritual gifts to play that role. And it's a summons to a way of life. It's a responsibility. It's a long-term task. But there's something deeper, something more expansive to the subject of calling. It's an acknowledgement that one is accountable to God for his actions. People who are resilient, they live by a gravitational pull of a call. They believe in God's hands on their lives, and they must respond to that call, regardless of a job, a ministry, a task, etc. So resilient people, they're confident in that call, and they reflect on such questions as, what path should my life be taking? or what should I be doing with the resources and sensitivities that God has blessed me with? Well, the call comes giftedness, and resilient people are confident in that as well. The resilient person runs with patience and are confident in their gifts and their calling. They patiently develop those into usefulness for the Lord. Number four, talked about thinking big picture, cultivating Christian character, being confident in your gifts and calling. But number four, refuse to compare your race. So we get to the next part of verse one where it says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. I can rephrase that and say it's set before you. It's set before me. I said this last Tuesday, and I told you I'd pick back up on it. You must run your race. I must run my race that's set before you, that's set before me. I cannot run somebody else's race, though I think I can, though you may think you can. See, it goes back to the issue of control. You are not in control of another person's actions or reactions. Understand, we cannot play God. He knows better than we do, though we, through our actions, think we know better than Him. See, we all have a race to run as Christians, the race that is set before us, marked out to us by the Word of God and by the cloud of witnesses. We run with patience. We run with perseverance. See, the problem comes when I'm tempted to compare my journey with somebody else's, compare my race with somebody else's. You know, there's three types of comparison. Because we like to compare in order to keep that inner score many times. And the goal that we should be comparing to is the goal for Christ and not for others, to please Him and not others. Because at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible tells me, and I'm going to stand before Christ to give an account for what I've done. Not for what the person beside me has done, not for the other pastor down the street that he's done. I'm giving account for what I have done with Jesus Christ and me alone. The problem lies when we attempt to compare ourselves. See, there's upward comparison. Upward comparison, we look at somebody we perceive that's better off than us. We look at somebody, we look at the Joneses down the street, and they got a better car than we got, they got a better house than we got, they got a better this than we got. They think that, and social media can be very negative with this, because it seems like some people can seem like everything's put all together. Let me tell you something about social media. You're not going to put the bad stuff on there. You're not going to put the problems on there. I know this, being the pastor for a while, everybody has problems, okay? So, and that's just part of being human, it's part of being broken. But we do that upper comparison, and we deceive ourselves in our mind, and we look at the person that's doing better than us, and we perceive. And I note that word perceive is doing better than us. And we go, man, if I could just be to that level, then I can achieve something. And it leads to envy and jealousy and bad and those, that toxicness from the heart. Then we got what's called downward comparison. Once we think we've achieved something in our minds that doesn't fulfill us or something like that, we look down at somebody, that downward comparison. We look down at somebody that we perceive as worse than us, and that can lead to arrogance. Please, please don't be an arrogant Christian in this race of life. The stakes are too high to be an arrogant Christian. Don't be arrogant. Then we got what's called lateral comparison, where we compare ourselves to somebody on the same state as us, and it leads to negative and unhealthy competition. We all have to struggle with we all struggle with that. Maybe it's natural to us, that idea of comparison, and we cannot run that race with patience if we are always comparing, because the root of that is covetousness. Remember the tenth commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." That leads to breaking the other nine. We cannot covet somebody else's race. We can't covet their opportunities. We cannot covet their platform. We can't covet based upon our definition of success, and we get our out of alignment of what God says is right for our situation. And that leads to all sorts of problems. The idea of alignment. We have to align ourselves with Him. We're going to talk about that on Friday morning. Being focused on the goal. Being focused on Him. And that's the idea of alignment. When I have unequal tire wear, my problem is my front end alignment, my rear end alignment, not my tires. If I got a nail in my tire, the air is going to go out of the tire. No matter how much air I put in there, it's going to go flat. You've got to get yourself in alignment with what God has called you to do. Your gifts, your strengths. It's okay to acknowledge that you're not good at something, because we're not all Superman. We all have talents to contribute to the body of Christ. When we compare our race to somebody else's, we run into problems. Every course is different. We're called to run our race of faith, complete with everything God has equipped us for, aligning ourselves with Him. Because on Friday morning, I'm going to talk to you about considering Him, looking into Jesus. That should be the goal of the race as we're getting off the starting line and running this race with patience. While we do these four things, big picture, cultivating character, refuse to compare, being confident, let us learn to think big picture while living in the now. Hey, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow hasn't happened, the next step. But you can't worry about turn four while we're still in turn one of the racetrack. Pace yourself and be patient. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a great day, great week, and we are going to look back and conclude this on Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you.